Over these past number of months, I do a little devotion on a Thursday and put it out, and I've been doing that at the commencement of the lockdown. I think I did 103 every day, and then every a week after that, once a week, and a song. And I was reading this passage of God's Word, and God spoke to my heart as I read here in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Now, the first two chapters of the book of Colossians, they are, as what we would say, are doctrinal, foundational. And I believe it's so important for us to have knowledge of the foundation to what we are in Christ, that in all things Christ will have the preeminence. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, "Ye are complete in him." Now, I know that a lot of people don't like when you mention doctrine, because they say doctrine is a divisive subject. But I believe it is so important for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ to learn the doctrine of God's precious Holy Word. And it's not something that God's people ought to neglect. Now, in reality, it's difficult to teach doctrine, as it were, to someone who's not saved. It's important that they realize that they're a sinner. They realize that Christ died for sinners and that they need to be saved from their sin. But whenever you come to Jesus Christ, you read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, concerning the day of Pentecost was fully come, and 3,000 souls were saved on that day. What a mighty working of the Spirit of God, as Peter preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And they and Peter received power that day, and so did the rest of the apostles. And that day, 3,000 were saved. But friend, that was not the end of the journey. That was simply the beginning of the journey. Because the Bible says in the Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, it says, they continued steadfastly. And there was the going on. You know, there's some people today who say, listen, if I make a little profession of Jesus Christ as my Savior, then can I just live whatever way I want? No, my friend, you cannot. Because if that is what's in your thinking, just making a profession, that's simply all you have. It's not possession. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a repentance, a turning from sin, and a turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is so important and so vital that God's people continue steadfastly. This is what it says in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Notice the way it is written. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That came first. And so if you think today that you can simply, or you listen to those that say, just simply cast doctrine aside, that is absolutely and totally wrong. You've got to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And your fellowship indeed will be based upon doctrine, and then in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, as God's child, it is important for you to spend time in God's precious word. In 2 Timothy, when Paul was writing the last letter before he died for the testimony that he had for Jesus Christ, he said to this to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved. Listen, unto God. Study to show thyself approved, not unto men, but unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you do not study the word of God, if you do not get into the book and let the book get into you, my friend, then you cannot really go on and progress in your Christian pathway. It is so important for to let the word of God dwell in you, as we see in this passage in Colossians chapter 3. But we are to study. We are to study the word. And why is that important? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3 it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What does it say? And is profitable for doctrine. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or matured or perfected, truly furnished unto all good works. And so therefore it is vital important that we come to not cast aside doctrine, but in actual fact to have that as the bedrock, to have that as the foundational truth in which we stand and on which we stand. Now, having that knowledge, my friend, that knowledge is not simply for you to have a big head or to impress others to say, you know how much I know about doctrine? No, that's not for it. Because, my friend, having that knowledge, it is vitally important that we put that knowledge into practice. And that's where you come to chapter 3 and chapter 4 in the book of Colossians, because they are practical holiness in the life of the child of God. Let me say this to you. The world will not be impressed simply by what you say, but they will watch what you do. And it's so important for you to realize that what you are in Jesus Christ, that is a privileged position for you to have, but it is vitally important for you to live what you are in Jesus Christ before the world. Do you remember what Paul said? For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Christ is the reason. Christ indeed is the purpose of my living. And then I know when that's true, then to die is gain. Now, you'll notice here, as we set the scene here in verse number 1 and down to verse number 4, it says here, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, the word if there, it is not a word that is putting a question mark, in other words, declaring an uncertainty, because that's not the reason, that's not the meaning of that word if. In actual fact, it's the word since. Since ye then been risen with Christ. In light of the fact of who you are, your position in Jesus Christ, then it says this, seek those things which are above, because we are risen with Christ. We are risen with Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, but praise God, he rose again triumphant over the grave. And so therefore, because he lives, then we shall live also, because he is our life. That's what it says in verse number 4. Christ, who is our life. And therefore, we are risen with Christ, it says in verse 1. Thank God he stooped down into the pit of our sin. And as the psalmist said in his testimony, Psalm 40, he drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. Thank God he set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. All these things that the Lord did for us, we couldn't do them ourselves, because we could not save ourselves. We couldn't change ourselves one iota as far as spiritual standing before God. You know, there's some people, they say, well, listen, I'll try to change my life. But my friend, that doesn't mean God's salvation. You cannot save yourself, neither could I. That's why it says in the Psalms, he brought me up also out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Thank God, and he set me upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And we are risen, we are seated. As Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, we are seated there in Christ. And therefore, not only does it say we are risen with Christ, and notice what it says in verse number 3. We are hid with Christ. It says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be off the world. And whenever it says we are hid in Christ, that speaks hidden, means it speaks of security. It speaks of safety. And thank God we are safe in Jesus Christ. We are secure in Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord Jesus says? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man, woman, demon, devil, none shall be able to pluck us out of his hand, because we are hid with Christ. There's none can separate us from the love of God. And then it says there in verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We're risen with him, we're hid in him. Thank God we shall also appear with him in glory. You know, the full revelation of that glory awaits the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him. Remember Dr. Pizzi used to say, Madam, that's the day you'll be good looking. You'll be like him. You'll be like him. And my friend, that's what it says here. It says, we shall appear. Ye shall also appear with him in glory. And so, child of God, perhaps you're downcast today. Maybe the burdens of life are upon you. Let me tell you something. You and I have a glorious future. You and I, people are worried about the future. You and I, in Jesus Christ, we have a great future, and we ought to live to reflect that prospect that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you the question, is that how you're living? Is that how you're living? Does the world see that whenever they look upon your life? So, how do we live? Notice, first of all, the seeking here. Verse number 1, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things. In the fact, or in the light of the fact that we are identified with Christ, we also, therefore, must have the spiritual interest in spiritual things which are above. Verse number 2 says, set your affections. Set your affections. Let us habitually set our minds, our attentions on things which are above, not on things of the earth. I remember reading one day a little statement that says, whenever I look within, I am depressed. Whenever I look around, I am distressed. But whenever I look up, I am at rest. And friend, that's wonderful. You do that. Look up, because you set your affections on things above. Because you know, where you set your affections will impact upon your actions. And so I ask the question, are you focused on Christ today? Is that why you've come to God's house, to set your mind? But not only today, friend. We are to set our affections on things above. We can be so caught up with this world, and we can so be so bogged down with the things of this world, that we forget the one whom we serve. We are serving not ourselves, but we're serving the Lord. You are saved to serve him. And so there is the seeking. Seek those things and set your affections on the things which are above. But then notice, if that be true, then secondly, there's the slaying, because it says in verse 5, mortify, therefore. You see, we've got to take the next step. If this is true, and we're setting and we're seeking the Lord and setting our affections upon him and our focuses upon him, therefore, as a child of God, friend, one who has sold out to him, it says, mortify therefore your bodies. That's the slaying of sin in our lives. We must make it our daily task to put to death sinful things. Because if we do not, you and I will not experience the victory over them and get them out of our lives. So many besetting sins. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and then let us run with patience. But we've got to lay aside. And that's what goes on to say. Let's go down now in this passage of God's word, verse number 8. But now, ye also put off. Put off all these. There are things, my friend, here's the separation. Here's the separation. You've got to put off. You've got to put away from you. You've got to dissociate yourself. You've got to separate and cease from these things. Why? Because if we don't, we will not live in victory, but something else. We destroy our testimony. Because remember, the world's not reading their Bible, but they're reading you and me. The world's watching you and how you live. Your neighbors are watching you. And there's no use you talking to them about Jesus Christ and live like the devil or live like the world. It says, therefore, in the light of these things, now ye also put off all these. You've got to get rid of these things in your life. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave? He didn't carry the grave clothes out, friend. No, the grave clothes were folded. He left them. He didn't need them. He didn't need them. The grave clothes were left folded in the tomb. Do you remember whenever Lazarus came out of the tomb? And Lazarus, the Lord Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And whenever Lazarus came forth, he was bound hand and foot. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, listen. Listen. Let him go. And you know, friend, by the life that you live, by the testimony that you have in your community, in your church, in your work, perhaps there's some child of God, some young believer who's struggling. And they need you to do what Jesus instructed the disciples. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ could have taken those grave clothes off him. But he said to his disciples, he says, you listen. You listen. And let him go. And friend, you by your life, living Christ before the world, you can be a help to somebody else, to encourage someone else and to tell them, listen, God, loose me. God, give me power over that sin. And God can give you power too. And I'm a living testimony, you can say. And what God did for me, it's no secret. God can do it also for you. And so therefore, Lazarus had to get rid of the grave clothes. He didn't need them. Why? Because he was alive. And so he put off the old garments. Those old garments, he had been in the grave 4 days. My friend, the smell of the grave, but he had to get rid of it. Child of God, you and I have got to live, dying more and more unto sin, living more and more unto righteousness. And we have to manifest the love of the Lord. Wiersbe said that two sisters one time, they enjoyed dances and wild parties before they got saved. And then after they got saved, they received an invitation to go to a worldly party. They sent back their RSVP in these words, "We regret that we cannot attend because we recently died." We recently died. They died to those things. You know, I remember when I was a young lad and came here to the Ravenhill Road, there was a man in this congregation. He had a wee shop on the Woodstock Road. I'm not sure whether people remember this. The older members of the congregation will. There was a man, he had a wee shop, and he came to the meetings and he got saved. Now, the main, his work, because most of the men were going to the shipyard and they would go past his place, and whenever they go past his place, his business really was based on cigarettes. And now he knew that as a child of God, he realized that those cigarettes were defiling the body, but that was his business. And so therefore, he would have to maintain his business or his business would go down. And God spoke to him. And God challenged him concerning his business. And God showed him that he could have another part, keep his wee shop open, but have another business. And so he went into the toy business for boys and girls, the toy business. The first day he opened without the cigarettes. The men from the shipyard come in. And so therefore, whenever they come in, they said, want 20 players or want 10. I said, I'm sorry. No cigarettes. No cigarettes? He said, no, I'm sorry. I don't sell them anymore. See, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You know, God challenged that man. And God says, what did you say to those people? What did you say? Did you not say, I'm sorry, no cigarettes? Are you sorry for obeying me? Are you sorry because your life's changed? The next person came in through the door and he said to him, I could have 20 players. No, he said to him, he says, thank God, no cigarettes. You see, his life was changed. His life was changed. He was a new creature in Jesus Christ, and he realized there were things in his life that he had to put off. And the Bible says there in verse number 8, put off these things. Put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communications out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You're changed. These things have got to be put away. My friend, these are the things that you and I in our lives, we've got to gain the victory over. And if you're going to live the life that is going to glorify the Lord, you have got to get victory over these things. There's no use excusing yourself and say, well, that's me. No, friend. Oh, no, that's not an excuse. The Lord doesn't accept that. In reality, you're right, that is you. But that's the old you. That's the old you. But you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says put off. There are things that you've got to separate. There's a separation. And then notice, go on down in verse number 10. But having done this, it says in verse number 10, you have not only to put off these things, but ye have put on. Here's the swathing. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, whenever we could see you, thank God we were robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have received a brand new nature in Christ. You're a new person. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. We were formed in God's image. We were deformed by sin. We were transformed by the power of Christ, and we are to be conformed into the image of God's dear Son. Now, when we put on these things, go down to verse 12. Put on, therefore. Put on. This is what you've got to put on. Things we've told, we've got to put them off. We've got rid of them. If we're going to live in victory and in power and to the glory of God, but we're to put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. My friend, study those things. Because this is the new man. This is what who you are in Jesus Christ. You're to put on bowels of mercy or bowels of compassion. Kindness. Kindness. Be ye kind, Titus chapter 4, verse 32 says. Be ye kind one to another. Is that a mark of your life? Kind. Compassionate. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, when he looked in the multitude, the Bible says he had great compassion on them. Tell me, when you look at the lost, when you see that druggie lying there in the street, injecting him or herself, and just lies there in the dirt, or that drunkard, tell me, what do you think? What a fool. What a waster. Is that what you thought? Just remember this. That's somebody's child. That's some mother's son, some father's daughter. And then remember this. It's only the grace of God. It's not you instead of them. No, you're not to walk with that haughty, arrogant nose in the air. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about the priest and the Levi in the story of the Good Samaritan. Let me tell you, the Lord didn't think much of them, did he? But it's so easy to point the finger at the priest and the Levi, but let me tell you, many of God's people are just like them. It says, be ye kind. You've got to put on, holy and beloved, you've got to put on bowels of mercy. You've got to put on humbleness of mind. Humility. Thinking of others first. You know, we live in a day and age which society seems to be me first. Suffer me first. Isn't that what they said to Jesus? Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Me first. The Bible says, Matthew 6, there, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Meekness. That's not weakness. That's power under control. Is that the life that you're living? A person that's under control? Long-suffering means long-tempered. It's amazing, you know, people get angry at the wrong things, but they seem to have no anger or little anger about the things that really count and things that really matter, the things of the Lord. Ah, that's the way people live. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, patience. Patience. The psalmist said, I waited patiently in the Lord. Do you think that God's not doing it quick enough? Think that God's clock is somehow wrong? Somehow lost the power? Then it says, forgiving one another. Just as Christ has forgiven you. That way you forgive. Spurgeon said, that means just as readily, just as freely, just as heartily, just as completely as the Lord forgave you. Say, how did the Lord forgive me? He says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody said one time, there's this man, and he came to the preacher and he says, you know, my wife is very historical. Can you help me? He says, What do you mean? He says, my wife's very historical. He says, do you not mean hysterical? He says, no, I mean historical. He says, why? Because everything I've ever done, she remembers it. And she throws it up in my face. You know? Is that the way you ought to live? Your life? Are you willing to forgive others just as the Lord has forgiven you? Tell me. If the Lord forgives you the way that you have forgiven others, even in the family of God, you'd be in trouble. Would you? And then it says this. Look, it says, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That means put on love. Put on love as a girdle that binds and ties all these virtues together. You know, if you have a heart of love for Jesus, you know what Jesus said? If you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Now, this is his word. There's no use us going out and saying, well, you know, well, that was interesting. and then going out and living the way you want to live. If you profess and know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, my friend, you have got to live Christ. I have got to live Christ. And we live in a sinful world, and friend, I'm not talking about something that's easy, but listen, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. God can give you the victory. He said, ye shall be more than conquerors through him. So just don't excuse yourself and say, well, you know, that's my feelings. God knows all about it. But he wants to make you more than conquerors. He doesn't want you to live under your feelings. He doesn't want you to live under your circumstances. People say to me sometimes, you know, under the circumstances, preacher. My friend, listen, God doesn't want you to live under your circumstances. He wants you to live above them. He wants you to live in victory. He wants you to live in power. And ye shall receive the power. He is the power to give you if you come to him. Very quickly, notice the solace, verse 15. And let the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, or umpire in your heart. You know, the tragedy is that many of God's people are not walking in the center of God's will, in obedience to his precious word, and they don't have the sweet peace of God within their heart. Let it have residence. Yes, let the peace of God umpire in your heart. And we lose the peace of God whenever we walk in our own direction, whenever we do our own will. Thou wilt keep him, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And friend, even when we can't see the way ahead, the Lord says, trust me. Trust me. Now, I know we live in uncertain times, and a lot of people are worried and are filled with anxiety, just not knowing what this winter's going to hold. But God's promised never to leave us. And we're to allow the word or the peace of God to rule in our hearts. A person said to me, you know, preacher, I fought that, but now I have a peace about it. I have a peace about it. Because I yielded to the will of God. And then it says here, notice the scriptures, verse 16, let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell or take up residence in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of God make its home in your heart. Now, if you don't know the word of God, friend, if you're not reading the word of God, if you're not meditating upon the word of God, if you're not searching the scriptures, if you're not studying the word of God, then it cannot take up residence. You've got to study. You've got to read. You've got to meditate upon the word of God. And sad reality is many of God's people from Sunday to Sunday, they hardly read the word of God. And they say, God never spoke to me. Friend, he speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, when that happens, it says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. He'll give you a song. He'll give you a song. You say, but I can't sing. I knew a dear brother when I went to Macrofelt, first of all, and let me tell you, he wanted to be Mario Lanza. He wanted to stand on the stage, and boy, he wanted to sing. He wanted to sing. But he couldn't sing a note. And you know, he used to grieve over that fact. Listen, Listen, this is what the psalm says. He has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Psalm 40. Then it says this. Many shall hear it. No, it didn't say that. It says many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It's not hearing your song. It's seeing it. Because if they hear your song about Jesus, friend, and you're living like the world, then they don't want to hear it again. Because you're singing a lie. And lastly, the summary, verse 17, we're finished. And whatever or whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, word on lips, in deed in life, whatsoever ye do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything, listen, not only by the authority of Christ, but with the approval of Christ. And we need to be honest. What we do, does the Lord approve? And then it says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Not grumbling, not complaining. Oh, it's a burden. I have to do this. There'll be somebody who has to do a wee verse in the children's meeting. Oh, I've got to do the memory verse. Oh, I wish I wasn't doing it. Listen, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. With all your heart. Why? As to the Lord. And not to men. Remember, he's watching you and me. Hymn writer says, his eye is upon the sparrow, but I know he watches me. I said, chapters 1 and 2, they were doctrinal, foundational, but upon those truths and upon Christ himself, who is the truth, we build our lives and we bring glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word today. The hymn writer said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. The psalmist said, lead me in the way everlasting. And I pray in the Savior's precious name that thou would help us who profess thy name, those who are saved and, Lord, walking with thee, that day by day you help us to live in victory, in the power, not of the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Bless this congregation. And if there's someone today who knows not Jesus, bring them to saving faith in your Son. Don't let them go away without Christ, but help them to come to him who is life eternal. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Do please remember the meeting, God willing, this evening. And I trust that the Lord will meet with us. But friend, if there's someone here today and you're not saved or you're backslidden in heart, you want to talk to us about spiritual things, then we're here to help you. I say, don't go away without the Lord, but trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now.
May God bless you.